Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the Bible wrapped up in one verse. You know which one it is? John 3:16, if you'd turn to John 3:16 this morning. Truly, this is a verse that the whole world knows. You say, how do you know that? Because the Super Bowl is played literally in every country, village around the world, and there's always some guy in the stands, in the end zone, holding up a sign that says, and whoever he is, God bless him, John 3:16. The Bible wrapped up in one verse. If you would, stand to your feet this morning, if you would, as we read John 3:16. I'll read aloud the first time through, and if you'll read along with me the second time through, and this will be our scripture today. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read it with me now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great verse. Thank you for the truths in it. Thank you. It could be just preached. I have so many messages that I've preached from this verse. What a great truth. What an encouraging truth. And what a convicting truth. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray from this message that begins from our text today that you would work on our hearts and accomplish what needs to be done. You know what needs to be done in this room. So I ask for your help, Holy Spirit. Work on our hearts. Help us to see truths and obey them today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. I must confess, I don't normally get my messages this way, but I did get this message from a marquee at another church that I passed. And the marquee said, somebody loves you. Somebody loves you. And is that not a great truth? For God so loved the world. Oh, God loves us, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to talk to you this morning about the love of God. I don't know how many messages I have on the love of God, but this is one of them. And God said, this is it. And I knew exactly what it was, and I knew, and I got it. And by God's grace, I'll preach it to us today. And I hope it's what you need this morning. But you know, the love of God is so misunderstood. And I'll tell you why it's so misunderstood, because people don't understand love anymore. Most people think that love is a feeling, and it's not. It's an action. And when people say God loves you, they think that he is emotionally attached to you. No, it isn't. God loves us. And what true love is, when he says, for God so loved the world, this is a truth that must be taught and learned again, because in our day and age of society, love is a feeling instead of an action. The Bible says, and you don't need to turn there, but let me read it to you in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 and 16. Just let me read. It says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. See, the love of God is so misunderstood, because so many of us think it's a feeling. You like me, I like you. I love you, you love me. And that's not going to produce a quality God state of love in anybody's life, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a feeling. It's an action. So when you say I do to your spouse, you're saying I love you and you're first. That's why most marriages are on the rocks, because it's not you first, it's me first. That's a whole nother subject. But we're talking about God's love this morning. And we need to have a better understanding. And the way we're going to do it this morning is we're going to look at the objects of God's love this morning. From our text that we read together this morning, the first object of God's love is the world. Look at it for John 3:16. Look at it. For God so loved the what? World. That word world there means mankind. God loved man. He created us and everybody on this world, whether or not they spit at him and they curse him and what they do to him, God still loves the world, ladies and gentlemen. Even in this day and age, God loves the world. And God manifested or proved his love to us. And you know how he proved it? By sending Jesus Christ to die for our sins. He proved he loved us. If it was just lip service, then he would have just said, gave us a book and said, I love you, da, da, da. But it's more than that. He sent the Christ himself. God himself came to this earth to die for my sin, your sin, the world's sin. For God so loved the world. Matter of fact, 1 John 4:9 says, in this was manifest the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Ladies and gentlemen, the only way that we are going to be able to see God is we must go through Jesus Christ, this gift, what God gave us, the love of God, and we must go through Jesus Christ. We can't go through God. So many people are confused about that. And it concerns me when I ask someone, do you know you're saved? Have you ever accepted Christ? And they say, oh, I believe in God. I trusted God. Well, God said that's not how we're to be saved. God said it's through Jesus Christ that we're to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, it's through Christ. It's not God. If you're trusting God to save you, you're not doing it the way God says to get saved. You're trusting God. Well, God's saying, trust me. Go through Jesus Christ. We must receive Christ. Go back just a couple of pages in John 1:12. Look at it. He explains it so thoroughly. Chapter 1 of John in verse 12. But as many as received him, him is Jesus the Christ, the Word as it's presented in the verses before. But as many as received him, to them, who's them? Those that receive him. To them gave he power. That word power means authority. What? To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ladies and gentlemen, we must, for our salvation, to be able to see God one day, to live in heaven, we must go through Jesus Christ and him alone to get us to heaven. A lot of people in this day and age, oh, I believe in God. And that may be you in this audience this morning. God does not save anybody. He says you must go through Jesus Christ to be saved. And let me say this morning. God's love is not conditional upon our receipt of Jesus Christ. People, you hear it all the time, they deride the love of God. They deride God and Jesus and make fun of it through whether, and there are no atheists. They can say they don't believe in God, but they sure use his name a lot, don't they? I don't ever hear them say, oh, Buddha. You hear anybody? Oh, Jesus, Mickey Mouse. Do you? Oh, you better not say, oh, Muhammad nowadays. They'll come after you like they did this guy that wrote about him. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying this morning is we got to do it God's way. And God loves us whether or not we accept Jesus Christ. God's love is not dependent or conditional upon whether or not we accept Jesus Christ or not. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves us whether or not you trust Jesus Christ this morning. He still loves you. Oh, he doesn't love me. Yes, he does love you. And you know how he proved it? He proved it, as we saw in our text, by sending Christ Jesus into the world. You can't say God doesn't love me. Oh, he does, and he proved it or manifested it by sending Jesus Christ into this world. Ladies and gentlemen, we must get to heaven through Jesus Christ and him only this morning. If there's never been a time in your life where you saw yourself a sinner and you saw that Jesus was the only way to forgive your sins and you trusted him to pay for your sins when he died on the cross, my friend, that's salvation. Anything other is not going through Jesus Christ. You need to get that straight, and you need to get it straight this morning. Why? Eternity looms. We just think every day is going to be the same and go on the same. My friends, that's what they thought in Noah's day too. Everything's the same until the rains came, which never rained before, and the waters started rising. And we're right on the cusp of Christ's return to this earth. Are you saved this morning? Do you know Christ? God loves you this morning. God loves you. And can I say something? Once you do that, and once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you become a child of God. You're right there in John chapter 1. Look at verse 12 again, would you? But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power, authority to become the sons of God, his children. When we receive Jesus Christ, whether we understand it or not, we become God's children. And it makes a difference. Before we were saved, God was just our God. But once we become saved and we accept Jesus Christ, then God becomes our Father, our Heavenly Father. There's a big difference. You can even see it in the Scriptures, I believe. In Matthew chapter 26, I believe, it talks about it. When Christ is on the cross, dying, becoming sin for us, dipping his soul in hell to pay the penalty that Mark Evans should pay and you should pay for your sins if you've ever sinned. Yeah. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane before he was on the cross, and he prayed, "My Father, my Father." But then as Christ was dying, paying for your sin and mine, he made this statement, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He became a sinner for me and for you at that point, and paid the penalty. And my friend, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to pay the penalty for your sin from his actions that he did on that cross, then you become a child of God. Look what it says. But as many as received him, we must receive Christ. And when we do, we become God's child. And by the way, when you receive or you accept Jesus as your Savior, then God becomes your Father. And then you get special attention from God. Why? It's because he's your Father. Let me illustrate it. When I'm in Walmart and this little kid over here is acting like Lucifer himself, dragging cans off the aisles, I run over there and I grab that little kid and I just give him a 1-2. No, I don't. I want to, but I don't. And there's laws now and they're getting stricter. I don't tell the parent. I don't do anything. I just grin and bear it. And usually they'll look at you and say, he's just a tough child. Yeah, I had 4 of them. And you know what? They can be tenderized. Okay, let me go on. I digress. But when you're God's child, you have God's attention. And God will take you in Costco, in Walmart, and He will discipline you. When we become God's child, then we become, listen to this, and this is one of the ways, we become the object of His grace. What do you mean, Brother Evans? In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it talks about that grace that saves us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Did you know that same grace that you got to save you is the grace that will help you as His child? What do you mean, Brother Evans? I didn't deserve to be saved. I deserved to die on that cross instead of Christ. I deserved to pay hell for my sins. But He did it for me. I got God's grace. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Everyone in this room deserves more than God gives us as His children. Every one of us ought to be thumped. This room ought to be emptied if God punished us properly according to our actions after we got saved. Can I get an amen on that? It's the grace of God that helps us get through these times where we struggle in our lives, where we're a little sideways with God, when we're not right with God. God gives us grace and mercy. Why? Because we're His child. And then, secondly, another way, we become the object of His concern. Turn with me, if you would. Now, I'm going to take you over to 1 John. That's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Go to 1 John. It's almost before the book of Revelation. One little book stuck in there, but only probably a page. So you'll find 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Go to 1 John, if you would, this morning. See, we become the object of God's concern when we become His child. But as many as received Him, to them became the sons of God. His children were the object of His grace, and now we're the object of His concern. Are you there? 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 3. If you're not, pretend like you are and just listen. For this is the love of God. Did you hear it? For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. That's weird. You just said that He gives us grace and He lets us get away with stuff. No, I didn't say that now. Don't take it to where I didn't go. I said He gives us grace. Doesn't mean He's happy or approves it when we do wrong. But His grace, you'll see what I mean. That we keep His commandments. That's what the love of God wants us to do. And His commandments are not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God, overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, our trust in Christ. Who is he that overcometh the world? Verse 5, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you know that means sometimes God actually has to punish His children to correct us, to get us to live the way He wants us to live? Turn back a few pages to the book of Hebrews. A dozen pages. The book of Hebrews. Go back. Chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 5. Hebrews 12, 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto, what does it say? Children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord hateth, he chasteneth. Doesn't say that, does it? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Did you know sometimes God has to intervene in our life? But let me say this. Listen to me. If it's you that's going through maybe some chastening or some things in your life right now, it's not because God hates you. It's because God loves you and He wants to change you to do what His commandments. You need to thank God this morning if you're going through some trials and tribulations that have come into your life, because it's God trying to help you to change and obey Him and His commandments. That's a good thing. Oh, it doesn't seem like it at the time, but it's a good thing. But having a struggle, change. We expect our children to change. God expects His children to change too. God loves you. Listen, if you do not receive this chastening when you're doing what you know is wrong, you hear a pastor or myself or a Sunday school teacher get up and teach what the Bible says to do, and then you violate it knowingly, willingly, violate what that Bible says to do, then my friend, if you're not being chastened, then there's a problem. Why? It's Walmart again. I don't go over there and spank that child because that's not my child. If it's my child, it'd be a different story. Let's read on down. Verse 6, For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Look at verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? No, that's a heavenly Father. God is that's an earthly Father. God is a heavenly Father. And He doesn't make mistakes like us fathers made. He's always right. He's always righteous. You know, you may be the object of God's special attention. If it is, you need to thank God. And you need to change. We need to be what we need to be, what God wants us to be. And that's what we need to be. Those of us, I see it in so many of our people's lives where it seems like they're just struggling, they're going through it. And I know through prayer for them and talking with them and counseling with them that they're just resisting the love of God in their life. God doesn't hate us. God isn't out to get us. God's out to love us. That's what real love is. My friend, this morning, if you haven't received that love of God, which is Jesus, then you need to do so today. Let us take one of our workers and take you into a room and show you from the Bible how you receive Jesus Christ according to the Bible way. Not according to what this religion thinks or anybody else thinks, but what the Bible says today. And if you're His children, then you need to manifest that love to and back to God. Yes, we need to return that love that He loves us. But I'm having a hard time. He's spanking me. Did you know some of the closest time I had with my four children as I was raising them was after an episode, not of Leave It to Beaver, but an episode of where I had to spank them and chasten them for something they were doing that they shouldn't be doing. Did you know? Now, this is before they become teenagers, of course. After that, it's a lost cause. No. But when they're little, some of the closest times I had with my children were after I loved them enough to try to train them and do right. The love of God, ladies and gentlemen. I love that subject. Thank you, Billboard. Because that's what the Lord had for me to give you this morning. Are you using, are you abusing God's love this morning? Father, I pray You'd bless us and help us this morning.